Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Filtered, our daily digital diary. It's a thought download on everything from leadership to wellness to health to management with myself, MD of Love and Media Group, Megan Cassidy, and of course, Jamie Heaslip. It is Tuesday. It's our seventh episode. We'll be doing 20 installments in this series and then taking a break. So it's 1 month of daily digital diaries. So this morning we are talking about manufacturing creativity because it is something that people think that you're just inherently talented when it comes to creativity. You're either a creative person or you're not. But actually, a lot of studies show that that's not the case at all. You can manufacture creativity. It's all about discipline.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a creative person, Jamie, or is that something you've to work at?
That's a good question. So I think there's a couple of things behind that. I don't think I'm necessarily a creative person, but I think, you know, one of my, strengths is kind of being future thinking to a certain degree, which can be a weakness as well, because you get too carried away with thinking forward the whole time. But I like to stay informed on different trends coming down the lines, and then that helps you connect the dots. And I think to your point about regarding creativity or like innovation or inspiration, I think that's where like the discipline part is almost like how you go about kind of curating your craft to a certain degree, and kind of like, you know, just like iron sharpens iron, just hammering away at it. And then all of a sudden, gradually it becomes, it's sharp, you know, or you're hammering away on ingesting a certain amount of information every day. And next thing, the kind of the penny drops. And usually the penny drops when you give yourself mental space. But you do need that discipline part ahead of it. So, it's trying to put the systems in place, I suppose, what we're talking about here in terms of finding what those, creating that environment for you to do that discipline work, do that kind of deep work, do that space where you can try and connect the dots and pull insight or think about it. Whatever the problem is, to a certain degree, particularly now in a world where everything is so interconnected and you've got notifications going off and all sorts of different things that you think are really important, when sometimes it's the most important thing is to kind of give yourself space.
That's it. And I think when we think of creativity, we always think of the obvious creative pursuits like writing, advertising, but actually creativity permeates nearly every industry in the world. And certainly what is problem solving? It's creativity. But the problem is when, as you say, you're waiting for the penny to drop, but what if your job from 9 to 5 is to keep the pennies dropping? How do you keep that happening? And I suppose there are certain things that you can do. There was a really interesting study recently that I read in DigiDay about an entire creative agency were taken, and they had to come up with creative responses to an advertising brief. And within an agency, you obviously have people that are on the creative side and they're actually called the creatives. And then you will have the people that are, you know, in trading or managing the finance side of things or the business strategy. And actually there was no increase in creativity from the people labeled as creatives. It was even across the board. Everyone had fantastic ideas, and some of the best ideas that were chosen by the brand came from people that are considered non-creatives. I found that really interesting, because creatives, it would seem to me, and I could be completely wrong, but put an extra added layer of pressure on themselves to maybe come up with something that's a little bit more convoluted, when, as we've said, sometimes the idea is just really obvious and it's only obvious to you, and those are the best ideas.
Something's really obvious though, Megan, is like, sometimes it just takes a different perspective, or something that forces you to take a different perspective. And that's very hard sometimes when you have the blinkers on, you know what I mean? And you're focused on one thing or one role or one job. And I think it comes back to the importance of that diversity and inclusion on so many different levels here. But I think you know, and that's where you can get to create the creative process. But like, I know you're a big Stephen King fan in terms of his how prolific he is with writing, for example. Mm. And I can't remember, look, I'm going to butcher this again, but it's something along the lines where he sits down and he says he's writing a certain amount of words regardless. And yeah. That's it. And he just hammers away every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he probably sets himself up to be in that state to write. And sometimes I'm sure he writes absolute drivel. Sometimes I'm sure he writes some okay stuff. And then sometimes he's writing and he might connect dots from, oh, maybe I'll pull that thread from this story and bring it all together and weave that character in or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he does have a process. And I think in order for you to have sustainable success maybe around creativity, it's having some sort of process that allows you to have a diversity of thought, of points of view, of information gathering, and how you, let's say, necessarily, how do you prep the oven for that kind of deep focus time? You know what I mean? Is it, you know, we know about how do you get into that positive mindset that will open you up to other possibilities, to other options, as opposed to, you know, engaging your kind of analytical brain and being quite task focused, which narrows down your focus, which is good when you need to come up with problem solutions and it's kind of analytical thinking, but not when it comes to creative. You need to be open. You need to be thinking a lot broader. Mm. And, you know, really easy ways of doing that are, you know, think, you know, feeding forward into like positive states of where you want to be, or having a gratitude journal, you know, making sure you're aligned on your kind of your purpose, your goals, your values. But you still necessarily then, you know, and then there's obviously things like putting your phone on silent, turn off notifications on your laptop, putting your phone out of your room, you know, making sure the environment that you have is ready and prepped for that creative work. There's other sort of apps and stuff as well. Like if you're not a good writer, for example, I use Otter quite a bit, which is a really good transcribing app.
Yeah.
That you just talk and it writes for you. And now it's not word for word accurate, but it's really good at capturing your thoughts at certain times, or, you know, putting the work in, or getting stuff down on paper. Yeah, exactly. I wrote something else down here in terms of the Amy Cuddy stuff that we've talked about before as well, in terms of like, you know, fake it till you make it. So adopting that kind of persona of, if you want to be a writer, a Stephen King process, and helping, you know, using him as almost like a mentor or someone to, you know, model yourself on, or model your behaviors on, and hopefully then that kind of sinks into your subconscious and becomes a habit then after a while.
Yeah. I think Stephen King is one of the masters of the discipline of creativity. And yesterday we spoke about the content diet and Stephen King's on writing. And what he really impresses home is, once you have anything that you can control controlled, i.e. a clean and tidy working space, time carved out to do it, the biggest enemy of anyone trying to be creative is to sit down and want your work to be good. Because the minute you start saying, this has to be good, this has to be a certain level of perfection, you are just going to cripple yourself. And I always remember on the wall of Facebook, they have, you know, you can't fix nothing. And that's very much Stephen's ethos, is get it down and then you can fix it later. So he gets his words in. And what I love in On Writing is that he actually collects rejection slips as a way to get him out of the mindset of his work needing to be good. He just needed to do work, submit work, and try and get work published. So as he was sending drafts to publishers and hundreds of drafts and getting rejection slip after rejection slip, he actually made a celebration of that, put a pin up on the wall, and hung all of his rejection slips off of that pin, saying, brilliant, one more rejection gets me closer to the day that I'm going to get an advance on a book. And of course, that day comes when he gets the call and Carrie is booked. But his whole idea is, who said it? Was it Ernest Hemingway said, write drunk, edit sober? And, you know, without taking that too literally, I think the idea is write messy. Be messy when it comes to creativity, when it comes to brainstorms, when it comes to getting your ideas down. Don't worry about the shape. Don't worry about chapter one, chapter two. Don't worry about what happens at the end. Be messy. Let all your ideas come out like a kid. Kids are so uninhibited when it comes to creativity. And then as we grow up, we get this idea that all of our our creations have to be good. And that's when we start to inhibit ourselves. But kids just create, they just draw, they just
the thing with that though as well, they like, I mean, you know, you got to create the psychological safety for that to happen first.
Yes.
Before like it goes outside that net, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the trick of a leader or someone who's kind of leading that that challenge as such. And it's a big job. Like, it's a big job in anything, in terms of, you know, coming up with strategy or potential solutions to a problem, that you have to create a psychologically safe environment and trust there, where people can air ideas, have them shot down. Oh, actually, let's just remix that and put it over here. And you have to kind of trust yourself that, okay, what I'm putting here, you know, anything new isn't easy. Do you know what I mean? So putting it together looks crap, da da da. But eventually, you will filter it down to a point where it starts to look kind of fairly reasonable. Like, I mean, for me, for example, you know, when I'm doing a project or working with a client or any sort of strategic thinking, like, I know what I'm like. I'll always start off with a blank A4 sheet of paper and like the circle go in the middle of what the problem is. And then arrows just start flying out of this, and then other circles with more arrows. And I just do a big spider web thing of breaking apart, because that's what works for me. And it's like, but it's not the way, it's not the finished product. It's just a starting point, and it's on paper. And I think that, to your point, you know, start messy. There's nothing wrong with starting messy, and you don't have to have the finished product from day one.
Yep. And there's another great book, Writing Down the Bones. I can't think of the author, but I'll link it in the show notes. And she says, just write, don't erase, don't cross anything out, write. And then it's almost like the muse descends and the creativity just starts happening and ideas start sparking off each other. And as you're saying, go with how your brain works. Be as messy as your brain, because that's how your brain unknots things. It doesn't unknot things in a linear way. It unknots things in sparks and fiery thoughts firing everywhere. So try and get that down on paper and then worry about putting shape on it later. So the couple of things that you can do, just we're out of time. So the couple of things you actually can do to get some shape on your creativity is certainly, as we said yesterday, make sure you have a great content diet so that you're feeding your brain and you're consuming a lot of ideas, because that's where your big idea will come from. There's no original idea. Every idea is appropriated, tweaked. It's based off something else you've seen, but just with your own edge. So make sure you're getting your content diet in. Make sure you're disciplined about when you create, whether you feel inspired or not, as Stephen King's quote goes. Sit down and do it, whether you think you're in a creative state or not. Just get a certain quantifiable amount of words down, amount of ideas out. You know, if you're an artist, get the bare bones down on paper. Doesn't matter how good it is. And I think the last piece, and that it, to your point, Jamie, is to make sure you have a safe environment for creativity. That you're, if you are in a team where someone rolls their eyes when you have a stupid idea, I don't think there's anything that inhibits creativity more than seeing someone roll their eyes or shrug. So forget it. No one can roll eyes. No one can shrug. No idea is stupid. And that helps everyone come forward, I think.
I mean, if I was to do a takeaway myself here on what we've chatted about, I mean, I think I'd go, one, prep the oven. So make sure you have the environment to do it. Two, be consistent and disciplined with it. And three, find a system that works for you.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way. I know we touched on before, but like the way I used Instapaper and Evernote to filter it down, find a system that works for you to just get words down on paper, or whatever that creative process is.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Okay. Hope everyone has success in their brainstorms today or their problem solving of a Tuesday. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning to talk about management and the transition from being on the team to the manager of the team. Thanks, Jamie.
Take care.